Welkom bij weer een nieuwe aflevering van Project Diaspora. Or should I do this intro in English? Because we have a very special guest lined up for the latest installment of the What's the Scenario storytelling series. It's Nolika Anderson Radway. Nolika's from the US and is the founder of Queer Media, a production company specialized in audio and visual art through a black queer lens. Nolika is an educator, author, screenwriter, host, director, emergent strategist, and creative producer of the progressive parenting podcast Raising Rebels. The story Nolika will present to us is called Fernweh, a love story set in the 1700s. A very exciting piece read by none other than Princess Bangura and Shaquille Shaniqua Joy. And let me tell you, Nolika, Princess and Shaquille take us to another place. It's really inspiring. At the end of this episode, you will also hear the reflections of Nolika, Simone Zeefuik and Ernestine Convalius, whose stories were released prior to this one. I highly recommend checking them out as well. For now, please enjoy Nolika's story, Fernweh. So, Nolika.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your play with us.
Can you
introduce it a little bit?
Yes, I will. So Fernweh means, it's a German word that means a way sickness. And actually my play, it's a screenplay. The intention of it is for it to be a film. It takes place in Jamaica, in the south coast of Jamaica. And actually there's a history of Germans that populated that's like not known very well, but populated that area. So we meet them in the morning, set in Jamaica in the early 1700s. Fernweh tells the story of Abby and Sanjay, two enslaved Africans that are deeply in love. The story explores how and why love grows under the constant pressure of oppression. Over the course of a day, we come to understand that they are each other's catalyst for They are the catalyst for each other's freedom. So I will say I'm reading the part of Mama that really just kind of holds the narration of the story. And you can introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Shaquille, and I'm reading Sanjay.
Hi, I'm Princess, and I'll be reading Abby.
Okay, here we go. Visionary fiction encompasses all the fantastic with an arc always bending towards justice. We believe this space is vital for any process of decolonization because the decolonization of the imagination is the most dangerous and subversive form there is. For it is where all other forms of decolonization are born. Once the imagination is unshackled, liberation is limitless. Adrian Marie Brown. Can you hear me? Yes, I'm talking to you. We are far apart, but here I am deep in your mind. I snuck in on this wave of sound through your subconscious when no one was looking. I have had many homes and lived many lives, but most often I choose to be Jamaican. Something about that place and time moves with me wherever and whenever I am. I can close my eyes right now and see the red dirt, the lush plants, the cane fields. I feel the warmth of the sun and the cooling breeze. I can hear the ocean caressing the land and taste the cold water cascading down the falls. Smell the pepper seasoning the pot. I choose it. Or maybe it chooses me. Itnamata, me and Jamaica are one. That lifetime, in that body, I lived at a place you may know as Lover's Leap. It got its name from a story of two enslaved Africans that were forbidden from being together by a slaver. One night, they decided to run away and were chased down to the southern tip of the island, where the sea meets a 70-foot cliff. Legend has it that rather than being captured and torn apart, the lovers leap off the cliff. That story doesn't make no sense to me for many reasons that I won't get into right now. The colonizers have even infected our myths. Sometimes our people create legends to forget truths until they are strong enough to remember. You are strong. It is time to remember.
Were you cussing me?
No, I am fine. I can take care of myself, you know.
I brought you some tea.
Where did you get this?
You know where.
You left the plantation.
We can all leave the plantation today.
So you see.
So I know.
Do you see me? I have been laying in this bed for the past 3 days, hiding from the light. If Busha was not
Busha
my father...
Busha is your father.
This tea is too strong.
I can make more.
You are going to leave me again, alone in this dark cabin, so you can go make tea? No, thank you.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I am talking about. You don't need to use me as an excuse to do what you are going to do anyway.
Do what?
Leave.
I don't need an excuse to leave this plantation. There are countless reasons to leave. We should all have gotten up this morning and left this plantation.
We should all be you, but we are not all you. We are not all born free. We did not all see the other side of this ocean. You think we are stupid because we love this place.
I do think it is stupid to love your cage.
Untie your cage, Sanjay. Don't you love me?
You are not a cage.
No, I am not. I am the bad besides you.
Please stay in bed. The sunlight shining through the crack of these shutters are too bright for you at this time of the day. Can I use your painting to cover the light coming in?
Be careful, it is not finished. Why didn't you wake me up this morning? We could have gone together.
How are you going to climb a cliff? You have a concussion. You can barely be in the sun 5 minutes without your head starting to hurt.
Now it's my concussion. Last time you left, I was sick from our baby growing in me. There is always a reason for you to go alone.
What happened this morning?
I'm fine. I just hurt my toe, that's all.
I'm sorry I was not here when you needed me. Before.
I don't think you will ever understand. We don't love the plantation. We love the people.
Drink some more tea.
I have always loved the morning. The brightness of the sun, the sounds of the roosters. Now I long for the dark and quiet of the night. Nothing seems the same.
We will heal.
I know, but in what form? I can't imagine the shape or size or texture of the scar that will be left from this concussion. I can't see it. I don't know what will come back and what is gone forever. I wanted so much to help bring the harvest in. I thought I knew enough, was strong enough, fast enough. He tried to warn me that the heat will be more than I could manage, but I wouldn't listen. When I fainted, I hit my head so hard that I blacked out.
Give it time.
We don't get time.
We get time today.
I really thought I could do the work of the people in the field. That the work I do on this plantation was somehow the same. Every night we come back here and lie naked together. I have touched every inch of you, but I do not see you.
I wonder if I feel this cage more than everyone else. I just imagine it is different for me because, Abby, you did not see me because I hid myself.
Maybe you knew I did not want to see.
I don't want this pain for you.
I want it. I feel awake for the first time.
It never goes away, Abby. the chains, the distance, the pressure on my chest.
Stay with me.
You should rest.
Will you lay with me? I'm not sure what just happened.
We are healing.
Let's tell each other everything today.
Everybody is always talking about the ancestors. Well, I'm an ancestor that is tired of hearing about the ancestors. You think we have all the answers? Well, we don't. It is my time to rest now. The answers are in the future. Look to the children, the child within you, the ones you have hidden and protected. Let them out. Remember them. Follow them. These two met in this life as children.
I was about to leave you.
Oh no, on my birthday?
It's your birthday.
That is what my mother told me today.
How old are you?
She says I'm 14. Do you hear that?
What?
Water.
You are a hard person to surprise.
Surprise? What does that mean?
Show you something you did not see coming.
On purpose?
Yes.
Why would you want to do that to a friend? Where I am from, we surprise our enemies.
Well, here we surprise people we love.
You love me?
I love all God's creatures, even nappy-headed boys like you. My father surprises me all the time. It is a way to tell me he knows me and he sees me.
This is a strange place. You should not be surprised by love. You should always see it coming.
Why are you taking off your clothes?
I don't want to get my clothes wet.
Do you know how to swim?
I did once. I will figure it out.
You can't just jump into the water if you don't know how to swim.
Why not?
You will drown.
You worry too much.
My mother drowned here.
My people are great swimmers. It's been a long time, but my body remembers.
My mother taught me how to swim.
I thought you said she drowned here.
She did, on purpose. They found her with a satchel full of stones tied to her body. I miss my mother.
It's getting dark.
It's okay. Masa is not back at the plantation until morning. Sit.
Okay.
What are you carving?
I don't know. I just like doing it.
I paint.
How do you get paint?
I make it with flowers and herbs. Busha taught me. What's wrong?
The daylight is all gone.
It's okay. I know how to get back in the dark. I can make brushes too. You are breathing very hard.
I'm fine.
We can go back. Sanjay, you are shaking. I know this place. I will protect you.
Everything you have ever felt, you will feel. Everything you have ever felt and will feel, you can feel in this moment. Trust what you feel. Trust what you love and what loves you. Our people have chosen to love in the harshest conditions. Now we must remember how to love freely again.
How long have we been coming to the waterfall?
Decades, I guess. A very long time.
Everything is so clear in the dark.
Is that a star or a planet?
You tell me.
A planet.
How do you know?
It has moved position in my frame.
I've taught you well. Askia Muhammad would be proud.
Tell me about him.
Askia the Great was the ruler of the Shanghai Empire of West Africa. He was a great scholar, astronomer, and economist. Askia encouraged his people to read and to travel and to grow. But like too many men, he was unwilling to ask for help. So when he became blind as an older man, he tried to hide it from his people, and they rejected him. Not because he could not longer see, but because he had lost faith in them. I too have had to learn to trust in order to be trusted. We should leave right now.
This is our home, Sanji.
We are our home.
We will never be enough for you. I will never be enough for you.
Crop over comes once a year. The ancestors blessed us with this day to remind us that freedom is ours.
What about your people? What will become of them without you?
I do not know. They will have to decide for themselves.
You are the only one that knows how to maintain the well. Before you built it, people will have to sneak to the falls to get fresh water.
For some people, the idea of freedom is enough. The well is enough.
And you need the ocean.
I hate that well. Since I built it, there are those who never leave the plantation. I helped build a new chain they can't even see. They worship that well when the waterfall is right there.
You don't need to know what it is to be left behind, forgotten.
You are never forgotten. You are so loved. My love for you will be for eternity. Past many stars and planets, Abby, it is our time to jump into the unknown.
You know, you have jumped. Last time you left this place, you almost died. I almost died. Our son did die.
I'm sorry I hurt you.
Why did you come back?
You know why I came back.
Why did you come back here?
At my darkest moments, I can see you so clearly. Your eyes are a deep tunnel of light that guides me. I came back for you, for us.
Me? I did not believe when they said you left to fight for the slavers. I could not imagine the prince I knew fighting in some white man's war. The truth is, I could not believe you leave me.
I had to go. The French promised freedom to anyone that would fight with them against the British.
Once I let myself believe it, that you left me, I never thought I would see you again. I mourned you, us, then the baby.
I did not know about our child.
Would it have mattered?
Then, no.
I will not have wanted you to stay for the baby. I will never want my child to hang like a chain around your neck, every day feeling the sting of your resentments.
I resented myself. There is a constant ringing in my ear on this plantation. The only time I can hear myself is in the quiet of your arms, being in your air so sweet, too sweet. It makes everything else so bitter and unbearable. When the earthquake hit Jamaica, I believed it was for me, that the gods had seen me and opened the ground to swallow me whole. They sent for me. I could not move. I could not see. I could not hear. The ocean spit our ship ashore and left. As far as the eye could see, no water. The men jumped from the boat, hundreds of them. They wanted to see this natural wonder, but not me, because I knew it was my end. I could hear the wave before I could see it. Some men began to run, but it was too late. The power of the water tore their limbs from their body. The waves kept coming, stronger and harder. The water kept pulling me under. I was done. All I wanted was to see you one last time. So I grabbed for you. And I kept grabbing until the ocean let me go.
The ocean did not let you go. You escaped it.
You can't escape the ocean. You can only surrender. And once I did, the ancestors made a path back to you.
To this plantation.
We get to choose today, Abby. We get to surrender. We get to have peace.
This place is not right for you.
This place is not right for any of us.
Maybe. But I have to choose my own path, in my own time, and my own way. I have to choose me.
We are both choosing you.
Give me time. I don't know how to care for me when I am caring for you.
I can take care of me, and I want to take care of.
You are not listening to me. I do not want to be responsible for you, for your bondage. That ringing in your ear, I can hear it too. It's still ringing and it's deafening me.
I will never leave you again.
I will not have one moment of peace with you on this plantation.
I remembered being a child for the first time tonight. I had a kite.
Like the ones you made? Like the ones you make for the children?
Yes. Someone once made one for me. It took me a long time to get my kite to fly. I would run with it and then let it go. The kite would fly and then fall, never picking up air. My mother told me to stop running, be still, and wait for the wind. We laid the kite on the ground and let the string out and walked away. And then I felt the air. I pulled the string and the kite took off. Abby, you are my heir. I'm so sorry I hurt you, that I betrayed your trust, that I left you behind.
Your leaving is starting to feel less like something you did to me and more like something that happened to us.
We can heal. We just have to hold on.
To what?
Each other.
You have outgrown this place. I knew you would. I know you are scared, but you're never alone. We are one, mind, body, and soul. You will carry us all forward. I love you. I have protected you. You were born with all you will ever need. You know freedom. You just need to remember to hold on to each other.
Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you all for your pieces, everything you wrote. Nolika, have you...
It's a dream come true, Richard, to have you interview me.
Really?
I've seen you do it many times. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm happy to. I hope I can manage these expectations.
Yes, they're high.
Probably
not. Yeah, they're pretty high. They're pretty high. So, I just wanted to ask you how this experience has been and how it was to hear your piece in context of all these other amazing
stories. Oh, my gosh.
Stories.
This has been so nourishing. Like, I feel energized. I love the idea of what you guys are doing, of, like, bringing art together, like, being in a collective and sharing your work. Feels really nice and special. I've heard it, like, I had a reading of the whole script before, and that was, like, really nourishing. And then to have to read it again in another context, different voices, it keeps, like, my imagination's going. I'm like, Princess has a particular way of saying things, and now it's influencing how I see that character. And it feels very collaborative, like, when you, like, put yourself out there and, like, hear it in space. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one. What was the influence of your actors in this sense? You said Princess had a particular way of saying things.
I mean, so many things. Like, Sanjay, the character, is, like, male. And the idea that the actor that was going to be reading for Sanjay was identifies as female, and how that would influence, like, what we heard and how... is powerful, so it's making me think differently, you know, again about it. I think I don't particularly like reading my own work, so it's like I was gonna read a part of it, and those words, even though they're my words coming out of my mouth in that way, was also another, like, interesting iteration of what all it can be. I imagined this Mona was going to be reading it because I just always imagined. I was like, oh, maybe.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Yes, I did. I was like, Richard, tell me that. But that didn't happen. But that's okay. I'm happy to do it. And it makes it, I don't know, when you're writing, like, and you're trying to imagine different people, and like you're pulling from, at least for me, I'm pulling from people that I know and how I see them and how they speak and their cadence and all of that. And so to read it, I don't know, the words became mine again, even though they originally were mine because I wrote them. Yeah.
Cool.
Mama's an interesting person.
Thank you. And how was that for you, Ernestine, to, you know, hear these actors present it and did it affect the way you imagined these characters as well?
They gave life to the characters, and I didn't. I know the characters. I just had an open mind, and I liked the way they did it. So, yeah, that's what I would like to say about it. So it didn't change the way I had imagined it, but it does give me ideas about, you know, trying to develop the characters so that they, you know, can be more distinct from each other, things like that. So it gave me ideas to improve it.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And you, Simone, how was it?
I liked it this time.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it was part of the trajectory to have your work read twice, I believe.
Yeah, can you maybe tell a little bit more about that context that you presented this in first?
Oh, yeah. So somebody ambushed me a little bit and said, hey, I think you should apply to this fund because you can write a play. And I said, oh, okay, maybe, I don't know, because I like films. I wasn't really interested in writing a play. And then on the day before the deadline, the person called me, like, very subtly and said, hey, did you apply yet? Because I haven't seen your mail in the inbox, something like that. And I said, I don't feel like it. We will see. And I then applied for it and then got accepted and started writing. And I'm a little bit of a control freak. So the idea that somebody is reading the work and it's not exactly how I had in mind was just terrifying. And it's not that bad. But I was sad for myself. And then somebody read it. And I was like, oh, it's okay. But it was something else that I had something else in mind. And for the second reading, Samora also read one of the pieces. And I felt much more of a comfort because I felt like she understood the social language of the characters. So even though the character of Zeynep is like a black Muslim woman, Samora, last time I checked, isn't. But she understood like a social context of like togetherness between black women. Like how do we speak when we're together? Like how do we joke with each other? And it was a different scene, but I just felt like, okay, it's going to be fine as long as there's somebody who actually cares about the work, taking care of the work, so to say. And that felt like a very big comfort. So now today, her reading it and us here reading it felt really, really nice. Yeah, it felt really nice.
I can imagine.
It was good.
Yeah. And Nolika, your work also kind of resonated with that of Marley, mm-hmm. The spiritual side of it, with the presence of the ancestors. Mm-hmm. How was that to, you know, be in that same space? Or how does, let's
I often, I commune with spirits a lot. Like, I feel like that's, and I often feel that they're, like, cussing me out. Like, the tone is very, like, what are you doing right now? You know, like that kind of, because, and that's my comfort, you know, that's what's familiar with me. So it's interesting to hear Marley's piece. And then also when I think of the character of Mama, in the larger sense, she has a lot of lines and she's communicating with the other characters. But throughout the whole movie, there's a thought of like, is she really there? Isn't she really there? Is she a spirit? Or she like lives on this place and everybody knows her and makes space for her and like, all of these things, but is like how are we talking with her? So definitely part of what I'm thinking about in that work.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's interesting. Also, mm-hmm. how that notion that spirituality kind of gives you more artistic freedom or artistic mm-hmm. opportunity to mm-hmm. kind of work with the story. And mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think for me, the idea of like speculative fiction, or I mean like science fiction, but just like thinking outside of the parameters of what is given to us, or like what we think we can work with, is just so freeing to me as a writer. Mm. Because it's like, I want to talk about the thing, and sometimes the reality, you know, makes it hard to have the hard conversations or the complex conversations that we're trying to have. Because like, but what about the phone's ringing, or how do they eat? You know, like it's all these things, like, let me take care of all of that because we want to talk about this. Yeah. And this still exists within that context. So yeah, that feels really freeing, really freeing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I had a question. Yeah. So you wrote, you had a piece about the ancestors. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting to me, but it was like the ancestors are saying, "Van, don't call me all the time." Mm-hmm. So what's the idea behind it?
This is a real thing. So I have a lot of things behind it. One is I got a, I don't know if people are familiar with, but there's this thing of a body reading. And so it's kind of like, it's a way of, it's a reading, like any kind of reading, like a spiritual reading or whatever, body reading. And something that came up with it, it's like, I really want to connect. I said to the medium, I was like, I really want to connect my ancestors and my, like, my grandma and stuff like that. And we did the whole reading at the end, and she said to me, she was like, listen, your ancestors are around you all the time. They're with you. They are supporting you. They love you. They are holding you up. But they don't really have anything new to tell you. Like, they're here to love on you, but for what your work is, you have other spirit guides and different energies that are going to help you have the conversation you need to be having, where you're going. And it just continues to make me think about, it was really like interesting, you know, like it, for me, and I've been thinking about it more around the future and children and time, you know, is the illusion and all those things. And there's a way of like, we put ancestors on a pedestal that makes them inaccessible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what you're speaking, your piece and all, and the thinking about like love, like that is really what the ancestors have to give us, and kind of like, and that is enough. That, and a lot of the work for us to do is to think, like to think past what has already been offered. And I guess, I don't know if that's all of it, but I definitely, this idea, and they know that, you know, like that's what I wanted to put the words in mama's, because like this idea of reverence doesn't mean we can't engage. I think that's part of colonial thinking, is like you have reverence for someone or something, and so you don't touch it, you don't like investigate it, you don't think about it, you're not critical. It's like, no, that's not what reverence means for me. So yeah.
And Simone, your pieces. So much about like a political landscape. What inspires you to think of new possibilities, to think of new artistic possibilities to kind of develop an alternate reality in that sense?
To focus on something else than what we normally see when we talk about a story like this. So I feel like if we would picture black women on their way to parliament, we would see panic. We would see people cussing them out and like demotivating them. We wouldn't see their togetherness. We wouldn't see them eating together and having fun and motivating each other. Like, hey, you know, we're just going to do this. So I wanted to have that element of fun in there as well. And using things that are considered to be scary as a backdrop of our everyday lives. Because we always make, our lives always continue to happen, regardless, so to say. And I wanted to put the emphasis on that. Whether it's a form of spirituality, whether it's a form of activism, we live with all these things. And sometimes we have fun with that. Yeah. And I figured as I was writing, it's like, oh, I don't recall the last time I saw a play where at least 50% of the time you saw a full black cast having fun with each other. Mm-hmm. And just joking, having food, listening to music, something that isn't necessarily connected to the story. And a piece that we have, you know, our interior lives are also represented, not action all the time. And that for me was important, at least. Yeah. So when developing stories, I look for that. Like, what are the conversations we're having? Do we always need to talk about heartbreak, or can we talk about some of these yellow pumps?
Yeah.
You know, for example.
Yeah, totally get that. Totally get that. I had this conversation with another programmer once who was like, yeah, Richard, I'm making this program about black joy. Do you know any place that we can program? At that moment, I didn't really know any, and that's pretty problematic actually to have that as a void, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm also laughing because if that is the thing that you're programming, how come the person doesn't know any place?
Oh yeah, no.
Right.
I mean,
because it's always that call, like, "Hey, I'm doing this. I got hired for this amazing job. Do you know any? Show me your list."
There
first.
Are a lot of questions to be asked that, but it was also kind of a realization. There is some sort of.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Because it makes me think also about that binary of joy and sorrow that we kind of want to sit in, where there's, you know. So I just want to also. I am so embarrassed. I have no idea why this is happening.
We'll edit this episode.
Yes,
don't worry.
I apologize.
Nobody will know.
I want to blame it on my children, but it's not even them.
No.
But yeah.
But maybe it's also why, because we want to do, as the final thing of our project, we're going to do a publication. But we're going to publish like different plays. Also to make it more accessible for people to actually write scripts. Because I feel like a lot of us feel that it is never in their future to put together a play. Or maybe we don't have the right examples to put together a play. But somebody reading your work or Martha Gardner's work can think like, oh, you know, this is an idea I also had in mind. And let me work it out and let me listen to it. It doesn't always have to be like this big Nationale Schouwburg production for it to be a play. But, you know, start somewhere. And it makes it also easier when you have your work published, this is like subsidy country, to apply for other subsidies. So some of them have the rule of saying, okay, you can apply for it, but only once your work is being published somewhere. And a publication like this could make that possible. Then you can say, hey, I have it published somewhere, right? To just open it up a little bit more and to have people have more access to it, at least. And to just, you know, to not wait for permission, just say, you know, these are our plays, it's here. And instead of saying, you know, we're going to do Hamlet for the 50 millionth time, maybe somebody wants to do your play. Yeah, add to the canon a bit. Go ahead. It's this festival with just a bunch of new plays. And that was the time or the spot where you can go and you could just see, like, work by new writers. And it was part of Cosmic Theater, which doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. And Shamar also pointed out, but now when you want to look at the plays that were being produced at that time, it's very difficult to find them. So maybe you can find one or two, or you have one that is actually being redone, but the vast majority of the work is just not lost, but it's not accessible to people looking for it. And also more English plays in the Dutch theaters. That's what I would really like to see. Yeah. And not just by international people, but I love this. Yes. Yeah, but I mean, the reality isn't that everybody in the room speaks Dutch. So it would be nice to have plays, English plays, talking about a Dutch reality instead of, you know, every day an American play, which is also super valuable. Mm-hmm. But what about the reality here of people who don't speak Dutch?
Yeah.
Would be nice.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
I know, I have one in mind right now.
Put it in a publication.
I know, I'm about to think of it. Yeah.
Maybe we can sound the crickets one more time before we wrap it up. But I just feel like these aren't really Caribbean crickets.
No, these are like fake crickets. That's the only ones I could find.
Like gentrification crickets. Like the crickets are tired.
Crickets. Yeah.
The pond is not really there. So like, you know, I don't really know.
So let's start this one.
Yes.
It's way better, right?
Yes,
it's better.
Thank you all for coming and hanging with us. See you soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nina, for inviting me.
Of course.
This was so inspiring.
Go ahead.
And I'm doing a research on the Black and African culture, and also just like what you said, the Black joy, the part about seeing something that's not focused on the plane. Now the plane is part of it, but just that the colors, the brightness, the liveliness of the African and Black culture. And I really love to talk with some Black and African people. So I was wondering if maybe I could get some of your contacts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Actually, they only talk.
Cool. Yeah. Can we trade? Can I ask you something in return? Do you want to present the research, the results of your research here?
Sorry?
Do you want to present the results of your research here? Let's do that.
I'm also planning to, because the Like Minds is co-producer. So,
cool.
Sure, why not?
That'll be fantastic.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Let's get everybody's content. Thank you.